Let us pray. Almighty God, you sent your Holy Spirit to be the light and the life of your church. Open our hearts to the riches of your grace, that we may bring forth the fruit of the Spirit in love, joy, and peace. Through Jesus Christ, who is alive and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. I may have told you the story, I certainly have mentioned it to some folk here, the story of one Sunday morning when I was down at St. Monan's Church, and I had to use the word apocalyptic. And when I reached the word, I blanked completely, panicked and said epileptic instead. I was, of course, completely embarrassed and apologized, and then after a service at the tea, I offered another grovelling apology. And being St. Monan's, I was greeted by the most friendly and forgiving of ladies who said, "Oh, Bill, it didn't matter. We didn't know what you were on about anyway." You may have noticed that over the summer, the readings from the New Testament have more or less followed on from each other through the Gospel of Luke. That's because they're taken from a list called a lectionary, and it's used by many churches the world over. It's therefore extremely fortuitous that we have reached Luke 12, verses 32 to 40, on the very day that we meet as a congregation to elect a committee to seek a new minister for this church. It's often described as one of these apocalyptic readings which so embarrassed me down in the East Nuke. But I really don't believe that it is a story of the end times, but rather a reading which tells us about how we should prepare ourselves for when God enters our lives. Enters our lives as individuals, but especially this morning when he enters our life as a congregation. We see in this parable from Luke the concept of the servant disciples and the serving master. And it's quite clear from this parable that serving is active, not passive. Serving is positive, not negative. Serving is freedom, not slavery. In verse 35, Luke writes that the servants are told to be ready for service. And what this meant was, in fact, that they had to put a belt around their middles so that their long robes were pulled up off the ground and didn't hinder their readiness for action. There's many examples of this in the Bible. For example, in Exodus 12 at verse 11, it's one of the requirements of the Passover pilgrims that they have to undertake the duty of putting on a belt before they set off on their pilgrimage. The servants are told also to be prepared so that their lamps are lit when the master arrives. Now, to undertake that task in complete darkness and in a hurry is far from easy. So they had to be ready all the time. The lamps were lit and tended from early on in the evening. The next verse describes the servants waiting for their master to return from a wedding feast. Now, in the Syriac and the Arabic Bibles, there's a couple of differences in the translation, which I think makes the parable much clearer and much more vivid. For example, waiting, which is a passive image, is written as expecting, an active image. Waiting can be simply marking time until something happens. Expecting denotes anticipation and excitement and dynamism. Again, in the same translation, the master breaks loose from the wedding celebrations. That is to say, he doesn't leave when the wedding celebrations are over, which would be the normal time for leaving. He chooses the time for leaving. When he arrives home, he knocks on the door. Now, at that time of night and in that culture, only strangers would knock on the door. From the master, all that would be expected would be a friendly shout. However, he expects that his servants are ready and able to answer the knock immediately. The knock on the door is for the servants alone. It is not the master's intention to waken up anybody else in the household. The servants, the people right at the bottom of the social ladder, the lowest of the low, they're ready, willing, and able for service when the master enters. And that is when the most wonderful climax to the parable is revealed. The master himself puts on a belt, and it's he who becomes the serving master. The serving master, God, has chosen the time and the manner of his coming to his servant disciples, his followers, us. He goes to those who have remained faithful to his commands and becomes the one who serves the servants. There was something, a saying I heard recollected recently, and it went out as this: congregations are not called to be successful, but to be faithful. Congregations are not called to be successful, but to be faithful. The true measure of a church is not its size or its splendor, but its faith. There's always a danger for congregations to place a higher value on popularity or location or wealth rather than faith. Faithfulness is not measured by the numbers attending worship. It's not measured by the enjoyment experienced in worship. It's not measured by the size of the offering. Although it has to be said that if the congregation is faithful, all of these things and more will follow. When a minister leaves a church, there's always a gap until the next minister is inducted. And we should take that time to reflect on where we are and what we want to be. As we gather to decide which 11 of our congregation will seek out a new minister, what will we need to do during the vacancy? How do we make ourselves ready, willing, and able to serve? Well, one or two brief thoughts. Energized by faith, we must allow ourselves to be energized by faith. Matthew 25, verse 21, we read the commendation, "Well done, good and faithful servant." We must allow ourselves to be motivated by a desire to please God. We must maintain that great act of Christian fellowship and come regularly to worship. In worship, we can experience his love, even if the preacher is at sometimes a little lacking. God is always present, and he listens to our hearts. He is the serving master. In church and at home, we must engage with him through prayer and the reading of Scripture. We must take time to reflect on the message which God is trying to give us and allow him to connect with us in new and different ways. It's our joy and our duty to help each other nurture our faith in Christ. We should take time to allow ourselves and everyone else in the church family to grow in faith and then take that faith out to others. Service is active, not passive. Energized by faith rather than just keeping things going. Outward-looking focus. One of the measures which has been put into the seven-year reviewable tenure given to us by Presbytery is this: the extent to which the congregation has been successful in establishing a community-based church with a sustainable presence for the future. And here again, we have to look at the servant disciples in the parable. In what ways are we responding to the needs of our community, locally, nationally, internationally? We should be and be seen to be active as servant disciples to the community. In our daily life as a congregation, we need to reach out to these Christian neighbours, to other organisations that would serve the community, and respond to the needs we find. And in all things, we must be passionate in our outreach. We are the servant disciples of a wonderful, loving God. In these turbulent times, which will change and pass, we must work out and ensure that peace and justice is available to all our neighbours, near and far. Outward-looking focus, whole life rather than church life. Seek to find out what God wants. We have to allow the Holy Spirit to lead us where God wants us to go. In Proverbs 29, we read, "Where there is no vision, the people run wild." And it's necessary for us to have a sense of where we're going, a sense of direction for our church. There is a wonderful and great upstirring at the moment about vocation in the Church of Scotland today. And it isn't just about finding suitable candidates for full-time ministry. It's just as much about the everyday Christian finding out about what God wants us to be and wants us to do. And I have to tell you that all ages, genders, and physical abilities are included in this task. Now, we can't do everything at once. Some things will take longer than others. But God has given us all the resources we need, time, talents, and money. And we have to make sure that these things are used willingly, wisely, and widely. Jesus calls us to be his servant disciples. And the example he gave was service, sacrificial service. In our service, we have to lay at his feet all that we have, and without reservations, and without compromising. Seek to find out what God wants rather than trying to please ourselves. Face the cost of change and growth. I grew up in a church in Dundee, which was a heady mixture of the very traditional and the downright risky. The communion service was incredibly beautiful, deeply moving, and very high church. On the other hand, the Kirk Session asked a 21-year-old with no qualifications at all to take over a Sunday school with 240 kids and 37 teachers. We need to respect the past. We need to embrace the best of it, but not to be afraid of trying to find new ways of doing new things. This is the time to take risks, to take that chance to try new things, and at the same time, be able to look at these new things carefully and honestly. And if it's not working, try something else. We mustn't be afraid of trying to do something, then finding it's the wrong thing and getting stuck with it. At the same time, however, we have to be wary of what's called the tyranny of the new. The tyranny of the new. That's something is automatically better just because it's new. It's not. Some things in the church cannot and must not change. But that's not an excuse for not doing anything. If positive things happen, we celebrate them and build on them. Focus the cost of change and growth rather than resisting change and fearing failure. Operate as a community. This church is the biggest organization in Newport-on-Tay. It's built on relationships, relationships with God and relationships with each other. And during the vacancy, we'll need to cherish and nourish those relationships. Meeting in pairs, groups, prayer group, house group, session, manor, whatever, wherever. We must use the opportunity to build up fellowship This will enhance our faith and our service. We all have our individual journey of faith. Let's enjoy that journey. It's worth remembering the words of that Dundee fan, late of this parish, now residing someplace in South Queensferry, that more folk are caught by honey than by vinegar. The funeral of one of the finest servants of the church I ever met takes place this coming week. And he was caught by the simplest of questions. Do you play golf? A round of golf with a few other men from the church was the beginning of a lifetime of valuable service. Never discount the value of events which are purely for fun. We've all been given talents, a gift from God. We've been given experiences from life. Can they be used in the community of the church? Yes, they can. Operate as a community rather than in isolation. We are not, as I said at the beginning, we are not living at the end times. We are at the start of a new adventure, another part of our journey with Jesus, a path that leads to God. The serving master is looking to his servant disciples. He is asking us to be prepared, ready, willing, and able to serve him. Be dressed, ready for service, and keep your lamps burning. Amen.